Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chav Tes. We're going to begin at the very bottom of Daf Chav Ches Omud Beis. The last two words, Tana Rabbanan. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Eva Dunkelman, Chava Bas Menachem Mendel. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. So again, the last two words, Chav Ches Omud Beis, Tana Rabbanan. We learn the following braisa. Nevatlim Talmud Torah, Lehotzoas Hameis. Talmud Torah, as important as it is able to be disrupted, is able to be interrupted, and we leave Talmud Torah, as important as it is, for two mitzvahs over here, lehotzoas hameis ulachnosas kala, to go nebuch, to take care of the mace, go to levaya, and as well to go to a wedding, lachnosas kala, in order to take care of the kala at her wedding. Amrulav Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi, they said about Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi, Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi is often referred to as Rav Yehuda Chasida, the great Rav Yehuda, who was a chassid. And sometimes Rav Yehuda Chasida could refer to Rav Yehuda Bar Bava. And in fact, usually Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi is just Stam Rav Yehuda. He's the Bali Plukta of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So they refer to normally just Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rav Yehuda is Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi. In any event, Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi, he said the following. He would himself go and do this. It said about him, Abu Allah, they said about him, that he himself would go and disrupt his Torah learning. He was Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi, and he would go and take care of these important mitzvahs. But the Gemara qualifies and says, "Bamedvar Mamurim." What are we talking about over here? That's only b'she'ein shom kol tzarcho, when there aren't enough people to go and attend the levaya. However, if there are enough people to attend the levaya, then it will be a proper kavod for the dead person. So then, emavav, and then you shouldn't go and leave the base medrash and go to levaya, because there, Baruch Hashem, are enough other people to go and give the proper kavod achron to the mace. How do you define enough people? Vakama kol tzarcho. So the Gemara gives us some very interesting answers. Amar Shmuel bar Inya, Mishmei derav. Rav Shmuel bar Inya said over the name of Rav, Tresar alfe gabra. You have to have 12,000 men at the funeral, and in addition, the shisa alfe shipure, and 6,000 additional men that go and blow shofar. There was a custom at that time that they would blow shofar at a levaya. I myself, for the first time in my life, heard them blow shofar at a levaya this week, at the levaya of a true Sfaradi. Shaya Abitan, his neshama should get an aliyah from our learning as well. Still, the family is still in the shiva form, and their custom was, and they blew shofar at the levaya itself. Okay, the Amri Lei, and a different alternative approach that Rav Shmuel bar Inyo said in the name of Rav was not 12,000 men and 6,000 shofros, but the Amri Lei was 12,000 men altogether. Included amongst those 12,000 was 6,000 with shofars. Trei sa'alfe gabre, u'minai yoshisa alfe shipure. 12,000, which included 6,000, not a total of 18,000, but a total of 12,000. Okay, that's a large amount called tzarcha. Ula says, Ula Amar, kagon, the amount of people that's considered called tzarcha enough is kagon, the chaitse gabre. You have enough people that fill up the area, me abula at sichra. Rashi says this means that there was a mechitzas anashim. There were enough people that went from the abula, means mishara ear, and until the sichra, that was adbeis hakvoros, the mokum shesoftin or some, the place where they would stop and do the hespedim right before they buried the person. So if you had enough people to fill up that area, so that was considered called sarcho, that was a proper kavod, and the rest of the people could stay in the base of medrash and learn. That was Ula's opinion. Rav Sheish is Omar, just like at the time that the Torah was given, and now the Torah is being taken away, so to say, for this person is no longer able to learn, that's the amount of people that's considered called sarcho. Manasi nasa, the Torah was given, b'shishim ribo, 600,000 people, 60,000. That's the amount of people that were present on Har Sinai, 600,000 men. So too, if you have called sarcho, 600,000 people at the Levaya, afnati losa b'samach ribo, that's considered called sarcho. That, by the way, Ula says, in addition, he says, Hani mili leman dekari vitani. This amount of kol tzarcho is for a, quote, a regular Talmud Chacham. He knows how to say psukim, he knows how to learn Mishnayis. However, aleman demasne, somebody that either taught, or others say that he learned Gemara, so then, less lay shiur. Then there is no amount, there is no considered, that's enough for that person, but everybody is allowed to leave the Beis Medrash and to go and attend this Leviathan. Tanya, we learn the following bright. So, Rishimu Yechoy Omer, Rishimu Mechoy says, Borei, come and see. Kama Chaviv in Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look how precious the Jewish people are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebechol Mokom, Shegalu, every time Nebuch, we're sent into Galus, Shechino Imam, the Shechino comes with us. Anochi Imohem Bitzora, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is in Galus. with us. Golul Mitzrayim, when we went to Golus Mitzrayim, Shechina came with us. How do we know that? Shechina, the Pasuk says, HaNiglo Niglesi El Beis Avicha B'Yosem Mitzrayim V'Gomer. The Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph tells us that HaKadosh Baruch says, wasn't I with you in Mitzrayim? So, there you see, HaKadosh Baruch was with us in Mitzrayim. Golul Bavel, when we went into Golus Bavel, Shechina Mem. The Pasuk tells us that the Shechina also was with us there. Shechina, as the Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, Leman Chem, because of you, Shilachti Bavel, I sent myself. Shilachti could mean I sent myself to Bavel, or it could mean that Shulachti, I was sent. In other words, the Kosh Baruch went down to Bavel with us. We'll see in a moment where in Bavel the Shechina went. Bav, Kishahein, Asidin Li Goel, and in Yitzhak Shem, at the time that we come to the Gula Shleima, B'mheira V'yameinu, the Shechina will come back with us as well. V'af kishen asidin ligol, Shechina imam. When we come back, the Shechina will return with us. Shenemar, V'shov Hashem Elokecha eshivusecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return with us when he returns all the exiles from all over the world. Now, the Pasuk could have said V'heshiv, but it didn't say that. It didn't say V'heshiv Hashem will return us. V'heshiv lo nemar. El, it says V'shov Hashem, when he returns us, will return with us, implying Malami, teaching us Shakodesh Baruch Hu Shav Imoen Miben HaGolus. That Shakodesh Baruch Hu is with us in Golus right now, and he will return with us. Now, we mentioned before that the Shechina was in Golus, so the Gemara has a practical question. The Gemara is written in the time of Babel. But Babel Heichal, where in Babel is the Shechina's presence most profoundly felt? Shakodesh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Where is the Shechina most profoundly felt? Like the Shechina was in the Beis HaMikdash, that was the apex, if you wish, of the Shechina. So where is the Shechina apex in Babel? So Omar Abaye says, it was in a certain Beis Knesset known as Bebei Knishta Duhutzal. Bebei Knishta Deshav V'Yosef B'Nardoy. It was in two places. It alternated the Shechina's most significant presence. Again, the Shechina is everywhere, but the most significant presence of the Shechina was in two shuls, one that was in Hutzal, the Beit Knesset in Hutzal, and also in the Beit Knesset that was in Ardoi. Now, the Beit Knesset in Ardoi had an interesting name, Deshav V'Yosef. Now, Rashi explains over here, Deshav V'Yosef means that this was a Beit Knesset that they built when Yechoniah went down into Golos. They took the stones from Yerushalayim and they brought them to this place in Ardoi. And they built a shul there. Ubinoy Yechonya, the Siato, and the people that came with Yechonya, the Cherish Umasker, they brought it. Me'avonim v'ofer shevi imon megalusan lekayim ashenemar ki rotsu avadecho es avonel v'es afora Yechonenu. So that fulfills the pasuk in Tehillim that says that they would do this. So they went and built it over there. They took basically something that was destroyed. They took the rocks and dirt from Yerushalayim and brought it to Nardoi. Others say no, that shul itself was destroyed and built in Nardoi. In any event, there were two places in Babel. The lo tem mohach b'hava, and don't say that simultaneously the Shechina was in both places. Ella zimnim hocha. Sometimes the Shechina was over here and zimnim hocha, and sometimes the Shechina was over there. So to say, the Shechina alternated between the two places. Abaye says, "Taisi li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give me. In other words, I should get schar dechim rachikna parsa. Whenever I was within a parsa's distance of either of these two places, ayililna umetzlina hasam. I would go there and daven there. Parsa is a significant difference. It was 4 kilometers, and they didn't have cars. So you're talking about walking. Parsa is 4 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. So whenever he was within 4 kilometers of one of those places, he would make sure that he would go to daven over there, to be davening in the place where the Shechina's presence was most significantly felt. Avur de Shmuel the Levi. Throughout Shas, we have the Bali Plukt, Avur de Shmuel Levi. Again, I mentioned many times that the name Avur de Shmuel is a very interesting name. Why isn't he called his name? His name was Abba Bar Abba. Why is it always referred to as Shmuel's father? That's because it was a nace that occurred that there was they were casting aspersions on Shmuel's mother because Shmuel was born when Avud Shmuel, Shmuel's father, was nowhere to be found. He'd been off on a business trip. And a nace occurred, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a woman attempted Shmuel, to the father of Shmuel, Avud Shmuel, this Abba Bar Abba, to have relations with her while he was far away. And she told him that she saw through her sorcery or whatever it was that a great son would be born if they had relations that night. So Avuah de Shmuel said, she's referring, if I have a son today, it's going to be a great son, which it was. It was Shmuel. So a nace occurred. He said the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he traveled a tremendous distance and went back to be with his wife through Kvitzis HaDerech, and he had relations with his wife, and Shmuel was born. Then he went back to the place that he was. So people cast dispersions and said, nah, come on, give me a break. That's the father of Shmuel is not really the father of Shmuel. Rahman al-Islam committed adultery, Rahman al-Islam, what people will say about great Gedolim. So in any event, so that's why he's constantly referred to in Shas as a foolish boy. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is testify this nace occurred, and he is the father of Shmuel. In any event, the Shmuel Levi, the Bali Plukta, have a Yosef, the Knishta, the Shafi Yosef. They were once learning together in this shul of Shavi Yosef in Bernardoy, and they suddenly heard Asher Shechina. They heard Shechina's presence coming because Shamu called Riksha. They felt some, noise. They felt something, and Kamu Vinovku, and therefore they left. Now, the Ayvitz asks a couple of interesting questions. So he says, why wasn't the Shechina there in the first place? So how come the Shechina suddenly came now? So he says, that's what we just said. Sometimes the Shechina was in Hutzal, and sometimes the Shechina was in Nardai. So for whatever the reason, the Shechina was originally in Hutzal, and now the Shechina was in Nardai, and it came in the middle of while they were sitting there. And he says, if they were sitting and learning, so why would they have to leave? Why would that somehow not be, you know, consistent with the Shechina being there? So he said that they were probably taking care of the local affairs, and they sat in the shul. They were sitting and learning in the shul. Now they stopped learning, and they took care of whatever local affairs needed to be done. Since they had stopped learning, so therefore now they heard the commotion of the Shechina's presence, the kol riksha, and as a result, now they felt that they had to leave. Until then, they were learning, and that was okay. But now, since they were dealing with the secular matters, so he says that's why they left now at this point. Okay. Similarly, Rav Sheshes have a Yosef Vei Knishta, the Shafi Yosef in Erdoi. One time Rav Sheshes was sitting there. Now Rav Sheshes was blind, Rashi reminds us of this, and Asir Shechina, and he also heard this Kol Riksha, the Shechina's presence was felt there, but he did not get up and leave like Avu Shmuel Levi. So the Malachim were upset about this. Also Malachi Asharis, the Malachim came, the Koma Ba Osule, they wanted to beat him up. They, you know, they wanted to scare him and say, hey, you better leave here. So I'm afraid of him. So Rav Sheshes said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come I have to leave? Ribono Shel Olam. Aluv, the person who is nebuch in distress, b'sheinu l'aluv, and somebody who's not in distress, mi nitcham it may be. Who has to leave in front of who? In other words, I'm in distress here. I'm a blind person. It's not so easy for me to just get up and go. So why can't I stay here? So I'm aluv. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Taki, you have a good answer. Shavku, he told the Malachim, leave him alone. Let him stay here. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Va'ei lohem lemikdush ma'at." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will be for you as a mikdush ma'at, which this is an expression that we use. A mikdush ma'at, we say all the shuls today are mikdush ma'at. So Rav Yitzchak tells us, "Ein lubatei kenesios ubatei midrash shebavol." This is a reference to the shuls that are in Chutz Laaretz, in Bavel specifically here, the shuls and the batei midrashos. Rav Elazar Amar, this is a reference to certain either batei midrashos or houses of great gedolim. So either have zeh beis rabbeinu shebavol. This is either referring to the house rabbeinu. Rashi over here tells us, since it's Bavel, it's not talking about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, who's known as Rebbe, of course, but here when it says Beis Rabbeinu, this refers to the house of Rav. So it either means literally his house, or it means his Beis Medrash, Rav Shebabav. Okay, Darash Rav, Rav tells us, Mighty said, what does the Pasuk mean when it tells us, from Tehillim, Hashem Ma'on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are a palace for us, a house for us, Ato Yisolani, you are for us, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically has set up the places that he's there for us in the Beis Knesses and the Beis Medrash. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, based upon what Rava just taught me, so he says that we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there where we learn. So Mireish, originally, Habegorisno Bevei, so I would learn at home before shul, Matzilno Bevei Knishta, and then I would go to shul to learn, to David. However, now, Kivan Dishamis Law, the Kamar David, now that I heard your definition of what David HaMelech said, the Tillim that we just quoted, Hashem Mon Atah Yisolanu, so therefore, you also have Tehillim to tell us, Hashem Ahavti Mon Besecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us being in this house. First, you see that this is the house, this is the palace, this is the Mon that Hashem has set up, and now Hashem Ahavti Mon Besecha, so therefore, Havai Gerisna Bevei Knishta. I also now go learn in the Beis Knesses before I daven. Tanya, learn the Braitsa, Rabbi Elozar Kaparo Mer, Asidim Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, Shebavavol, Sheikavu Be'eretz Yisrael. There's a famous idea that all the shuls in Chutz Laaretz, people say, how can we spend so much money on this shul? It's going to go to waste. We're going to go make Aliyah tomorrow with the Mashiach Tzikenu, so the shul's going to be to waste. I said, no, this famous Medrash tells us that all the shuls, all the Batei Knesios, all the Batei Midrashos, the shuls and the Beis Medrashims are all going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar. Ki ketovar behorim uchekarmel bayom yovo. Just like certain mountains, like Har Tabor and Har Carmel, they came at the time of Matan Torah at Har Sinai, all the mountains came and they literally picked up and they moved to Eretz Yisrael. So these mountains, Har Tabor and Har Carmel, came and they picked up and crossed the Yam and came to Eretz Yisrael. So too, the shuls and the Bati Medrash will pick up and go to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mehir Yomeinu. It's interesting. It's like we have a rule that an embassy is considered the territory of the country. So the U.S. embassy, if somebody's born in the U.S. embassy, any place in the world, in France, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan. So if you're born in the U.S. embassy, so then you are considered a citizen of the United States, as if you were born in the United States. So Gemara also tells us that Rav Yochanan was amazed that the people in Babel could be learning Torah so well and live such long lives. So he says, that's because he sees that they spend time in the Beis Medrash. So the Beis Medrash is like the air of Eretz Yisrael. It's considered like Eretz Yisrael. So he says, now I understand how you can have a long life living outside Eretz Yisrael. Because you are like you're in Eretz Yisrael by being in the Beis Medrash and the Beis Knesses. Now, the Gemara now tells us this is a Kav HaChomer. If the mountains could pick up and go, certainly the shuls will pick up and go. Now, during Kav HaChomer, Uma Tavor v'Karmel, these two mountains, Shalobo El Lefi Shah L'motorah, they came only, so to say, momentarily to just be by Matan Torah. So therefore, they were only there for a short period of time, and they came just to learn Torah. So therefore, nevertheless, Nikbar and Beris Yisrael, they were transplanted to Eretz Yisrael. So about taking a seal, so about the Midrash, Shikor, and Abitzim, and Torah. So certainly the shuls and the Beis Medrash that are constantly being learning in Torah and davening in them, Allah has come v'kama, how much more so are they going to be permanent structures moved to Eretz Yisrael, b'mehir b'yameinu. Quarantine to darshan as follows. Dorish bar kapara, my divsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, from Tehillim, lama tirats dun horim, gavnunim, why are you dancing, you great tall mountains? So yotza baskol v'yarmulam, so the baskol came out from Shemaim and said to them, lama tirtzudin, and we play on the word tiratzdun, dancing, lama tirtzudin, why are you bringing it in Torah in Har Sinai? Why are you upset that Har Sinai got the Torah? Hey, we all know the famous Medrash that all the mountains came and said, "Oh, give the Torah to me! I'm the tallest, I'm the broadest, I'm the most beautiful." So all the mountains came and said, "Give me! I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best." And Har Sinai said, "No, I'm nothing. I'm a gurnish. I'm much smaller than all the other mountains. So I understand. I'm not asking to have Torah on me." And Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, you're the most humble. So therefore, you're going to get the Torah given on you." So kucham bali mumim atem etzol Sinai. So the Baskel came out and said, "Why are you complaining against Har Sinai? Why are you tirats doing? Why are you bringing a din Torah against Har Sinai? Har Sinai is deserving because it's not a Baal Mum. You are all Baal Mum because you're all arrogant. You're all bragging about your characteristics, and you're a Baal Mum as a result by being a arrogant mountain." So Ksiv Hacha, it says, how do we know this? Because it says Gavnunim. This word Gavnunim is a play on the word Gibein. Ksiv Hasim, it says in terms of Mumim, O Gibein, O Dak, if certain Mumim are found, either an animal or a Kohen, so it passes them. So a Gibein is either somebody that has very, very long eyelashes, or there are other, some say Gibin is a hunchback, and Dak is a person who has certain eye problems, like a cataract or something like that. So therefore, Ravashi said, "I'm Ravashi, Shmamina, Haiman Diyar." You see, an arrogant person is considered Baal Mum. If an arrogant, the mountains were considered Baal Mum, so too, arrogance by person is considered a tremendous negative. And this is true. It says, Ma'od, Ma'od, Hevi Shval Ruach, that a person should be very exceedingly, it says, ma'od, ma'od, heavy shvel ruach. Arrogance is not a property that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to be. You can't stand arrogant people. That's why we've always explained many times that the Torah is compared to water. Water always sinks to the lowest point. If you put water out, it will always find the lowest point. That's Torah always finds the humblest person. He will be the most successful in learning Torah. The Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. It says, ein osin osal kapandaria. Some pronounce it kapandria. I think the more correct pronunciation is kapandaria. So person isn't allowed to make the shul a shortcut. I said in the Mishnah, we'll derive the word now, kapandaria, where it comes from. My kapandaria, the Gemara asks. So I'm a Rava. This is a nutrikon. It's a jumble of the word, kapandaria kishma. It means what it says. My kishma, what does that mean? Kiman diyamid, as if a person said, until demakifna adari, instead of I going all the way around the houses, eil baha, I'll cut through over here. So therefore, it's a shortcut, it's a cut through. And therefore, you shouldn't make a shul into a cut through. Amar Revo says, however, im hayashvil meikara, if originally there was a cut through over there, and then they built the shul around it, so you can't take away the easement rights that the community had to go through that path that was over there. So therefore, im hayashvil meikara, if there was a path there from the beginning, Mutter, then you are allowed to still cut through, even though the shul was built subsequent to it. The shul came afterwards, so the path takes precedence still. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Yitzchok tells us another din. He says, "Hanichnos al menas shelo lasos kapandarya." If a person had no intention of making a shortcut of the shul when he entered, then mutar lasos kapandarya. He's allowed to go and use it as a shortcut. So he came in from the front of the shul. He's allowed to leave from the back of the shul. His intention wasn't to cut through the shul. He went inside to David, so he doesn't have to go out the same entrance that he came in from. And in fact, Amar Rabbi Chabo, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Chabo says the name Rav Huna, "Hanichnas lebeis haknesses lispalo mutar." And some have the girsa mitzvah. The Gruah brings down the Rosh mitzvah lasos kapandarya, that a person in fact should not go in the same way that he came out. It's a proper thing, an appropriate thing, a mitzvah to go out a different route. In other words, you should definitely make it into a shortcut, or at least into a different route that you entered. You should leave. And this is based upon the pasuk Shemar. It says, when the people came up on Elias Regel, and they would enter in the northern way, Lishtachavos, to go in and bow down at the base of Mikdosh, they would go out the southern way. So the Davka, they went out a different route. Okay, it's the pasuk from Yecheskel. Then the Mishnah is quoted, if you go into the shul that was Nebucharun, and there were grasses growing there, so you're not allowed to uproot the grasses. When the shul was in its existence, you had to go get rid of any grass that was growing on the dirt floors. But when the shul is never in disarray, it's ruined, so you're not allowed to go and uproot the grass. Ayigmar says, another rice says, otherwise, Vatanya, ain't no tole shumachal. You're not allowed to uproot the grass to feed it to your animals. However, avo tole shumaniach, but you are allowed to uproot the grass and just leave it over there. So it seems to argue against our Mishnah. They said, you're not allowed to uproot the grass, period. So Gemara says, no, our Mishnah meant the same thing. Ki tna nami masnisen tole shumachal tna. It says, you shouldn't use it as a grazing area. You shouldn't go and feed your animals with that grass. But it's no isser. It's not like a Shabbos, so you're not allowed to cut the grass. So there's no isser in cutting the grass. But if you do cut the grass there, you should leave the grass over there again to inspire people when they see it in disarray that they should go and want to go and pray to stronger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the shul. Tanur Rabbah bring down another brayso, Beis HaKvaros, a noagin by the Kalas Rosh. Since we talked about in a shul you can't have Kalas Rosh, so now we have a brayso that says a similar idea. In a cemetery, a person shouldn't act in a lighthearted fashion as well. And that includes a marin behen behemah. You don't graze your animals over there. A cemetery is not a place to go and graze animals. You don't have a nice stream running through over there. And you also don't pick up the grass over there. And if you do pick up the grass, and now we have the words, if you do pick up the grass there, you burn it over there. And it seems to sound like because it's covered ames to somehow burn the grass there. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ahai. This mipnei covered ames. Is that really covered mace that you burn the grass over there? Kivin shesofim b'mkoma, my covered mace, how is that covered mace? So Gemara says, you're right. You should have read it the following way. You should have read it, v'im likate sarfim b'mkoma. If you did pick up the grass, so you can't take it with you, you burn it over there. Or the stomach, you could leave it over there. Lav dafka, you have to burn it. But you leave it over there. And then, if they covered a mace, that goes on a different part. So, ella aresha, that went on the ration. It says that a person shouldn't act in a lighthearted way because of covered mace. Now we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholios B'Shabbos. When Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, that's of course what we would call Parsha Shkolim. So we read Korin B'Parsha Shkolim. We read what we know is Parsha Shkolim. Everybody knows Parsha Shkolim comes from Parshas Kisisa, the first two parts of the Rishon Aliyah, the Kohen and Levi Aliyah on a Monday or a Thursday. That's Parshas Shkolim. However, you'll be surprised if you're not familiar with this Gemara that there's another opinion as to what Parsha Shkolim should be, and we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to talk about that. So we read Korin B'Parsha Shkolim, that is the, according to, again, the way that we paskin, that is the maftir that we read for that Shabbos. This is the rule if it comes out on Shabbos, but it's much more likely that it's going to come out, Rosh Chodesh is going to fall out on any of the other days of the week. So when it falls out that Rosh Chodesh is on any other days of the week, then we move up Parsha Shkolim to the week before. And Holy Os B'socha Shabbos, Makdimim L'Sha'avar. You move it up, and we have Parsha Shkolim when it's still Shvat, and it's the week before Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos Mevarach, what we would say. Mafsikin L'Shabbos Acheres. Now, it tells us that therefore the next Shabbos after that, which will be the first Shabbos in Adar, is not going to be Parsha Zohar, which comes next, because it's going to be too far away from Purim. Purim is going to be on Yudalit, so there's no way that if Rosh Chodesh is during the middle of the week, that the first Shabbos after that is going to be the Shabbos before Purim. So therefore, in this situation, Umafsikin L'Shabbos Acheres, we'll have a blank Shabbos of the four parashios in that we have, the special Shabbos of Shkolim, Sochar, Parah, and Chodesh, so you're going to have a week off, so to say, from this four special parashios, what are called the Arba Parashios, so you're going to have a blank week, and that will be the week that is the first week of Shabbos of Adar, when Rosh Chodesh Adar is during the weekday. Now, Bashnia, the second of these four parashios, it doesn't mean the second week, it means the second of these four parashios will be Parashat Zachar, and that will be always the week before Purim. Then Bashlishis Parah Aduma, and Baravias HaChodesh Zeluchem. The third of the four parashios is Parah Aduma, Parashat Parah, and the fourth parasha is Parashat HaChodesh. Now, then, after that, when you finish that, we return to the regular cycle. Bachamish is when we're talking about what would be, if there were five parashas, the fifth parasha, that isn't the special fifth parasha, that returns to the regular cycle of reading the Shabbos Aliyos. We'll discuss what this really means when we get to the Gemara. Now, lakol mafsikin, for everything we interrupt, meaning that when something special comes out, we don't say the regular lading for that day, but we do something special instead. So, when Rosh Chodesh comes out, let's say on a Monday or a Thursday, Beroshei Chodashim, we don't read the regular parasha of a Monday or Thursday. This past week, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, so we read the lady for Rosh Chodesh instead of reading Parashas Bo. So, Beroshei Chodashim, it takes away and bumps aside the regular lady. Likewise in Hanukkah. When Hanukkah comes out on a Monday or Thursday, you read whatever day of Hanukkah is. And the Purim, the same thing. You read the special lady for Purim, Vayovo Amalek, so you don't read, if it's a Monday or Thursday, whatever that week's laning would be. But Taniyos, when you have a Tani is coming out on a Monday or Thursday, so you read Vayichal, you don't read that regular laning from that week. But Mamados, we said many times what the Mamados are, those are the special Mishmaros that were divided up in all of Klai Yisrael into 24 Mishmaros, just like the Kohanim and Levim were, and when they were on, so on that week, when they would be on call, so they would have special laning for Bereishis that they would read. It comes out on Monday and Thursday, obviously, so they didn't read the regular laning, they would read the Mamados Bereishis laning. And finally, B'Yom HaKippurim, likewise, it pushes it aside. Now, it doesn't tell us over here, Yom Kippur, by Shachris time, that we have special laning for Yom Kippur, because it doesn't mention any of the other Yom Tovim. So Tosus points out, Lachom Afsikin, so he says, this is talking about by Mincha time. Normally, the other Yom Tovim don't have a lady by Mincha. So, if Shabbos is Yontif, so of course you do the Shabbos lady, because there is no Yontif lady. If Yontif is on a Monday, Tuesday, so there's no lady by Mincha time. And if Yontif comes out on a Shabbos Sunday, for example, so then on Shabbos there is no lady for the Yontif, so you just lay in the regular Shabbos lady. Mincha by Yom Kippur is the exception to the rule, because Yom Kippur, of course, has Yonah. That's what we mock to Yonah. So, therefore, when Shabbos is Yom Kippur, you'd have a choice. Should you read the Parsha of next week, which would be the normal Parsha that you would read on Shabbos, or do you read Mafta Yonah? So here, Mafta Yonah pushes aside the regular next week Shabbos laning that you would lay in Rishon by Mincha time, Mincha Shabbos. Okay, now let's start off the Gemara. Tananos, we learned early in the Masechta, in the Mishnah, on Daf Yud Gimel, where it said, Bi'echud bi'Adar, on the first day of Adar, Mashmi'in al-Shkolim. They would send out the announcements to all the people, hey, the new fiscal year is coming, starting Nisan 1, and therefore, you better go bring your Machzis HaShekel funds in order to pay for the Korbanos for the new fiscal year. We dashed that out when we learned the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and we'll have it again in today's share in a few moments. And likewise, Bala Kilayim, they would send out announcements telling people that you better uproot your Kilayim. That's when the Kilayim would grow. So that was clear. The Gemara says, Bishlam ala Kilayim, we turn to Chavtesa with base. Bishlam ala Kilayim. It's clear why would they send out the announcements, because this Manzrihi, that's when it was growing. So, Elo, ala Shkolim, why did they send out announcements on the Shkolim at this point in time on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Minolon, what is the source for doing that? So Amar Rav Tavi said in the name of Amar Rabbi Yoshia, so he said in the name of Yoshia, the Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, and this is from the laning of Rosh Chodesh. Incidentally, that's important, we'll see this, Zos Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho L'Chodshei HaShanah, and we darshan in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that we learn out from here that Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh of all the Chodashim, and that it's the fiscal year starting from this time, because it said unnecessary words. This had a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah darshan this, so Chodesh B'Chodesho. What does that mean? Amar Torah, Chadesh Vavei Karba Mitruma Chadasha. This is coming to teach us, and again, the full drasha was fleshed out in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the fiscal year for the Beis HaMikdash, all the korbanos have to be for Matzis HaShekel funds that were purchased from that year. And that year is described from Nisan 1 until the last day of Adar of that year. So therefore, that is the fiscal year for the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the new fiscal year, so you got to collect the funds beforehand. So that's why on Rosh Chodesh Adar, it makes sense that they should start making the announcements. Let's go and tax the people to bring in the Maksis HaShekel for the upcoming year. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Since by Nisan they have to go and take funds for the new year, you got to collect it beforehand. So it makes sense to collect it a month before Kadminan. We go and move it forward. And therefore we make the announcements on Rosh Chodesh Adar, so you have a month to go and give. That's felt to be enough time for people to bring the Maksis HaShekel. The people from farther away, so they would send it in. It would take longer to get there. And the people that were nearby would take a little shorter time to get there. This way they had funds coming in. Okay. Gemara says, who does this go like? Come on. So it seems to not go like the lo, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, in a famous melchokos between Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel and Chachamim. And that is, how much before the yontif do you have to prepare for it? So we know the famous rule, shloshi yom lefnei achad, 30 days before the yontif, you have to prepare about the yontif. That's the well-known aphorism the Chazal said, and that's how we quote Paskin, but that's not the only opinion. Because the Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel disagrees with that. He holds Ha'amar Shtei Shabbos. He says you just have to prepare 2 Shabbos, 2 weeks beforehand. The Tanya, this is the famous machlokis. Shalom Yuchas Pesach, Kodlam Pesach Shloshim Yom. The Tanakama, the Chachamim hold that you have to prepare for the Yontif of Pesach 30 days beforehand. And we also have a similar idea for all the other Yomim Tovim that 30 days beforehand is when you start preparing for it. I mentioned the beautiful minhag, I think, while we're learning this mesechta, that some people have at the Purim Suda, they specifically go learn Hilchos Pesach, because that's 30 days before Pesach. So they start this halacha, Shloshim Yom, Lefnei HaChag, you have to learn about the Chag. Fine, so that's clear why on Rosh Chodesh Adar, it would make sense that they would start collecting the Maksis HaShekel to prepare for something 30 days later. But Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel disagrees. He says you only need 2 weeks. Shtei Shabbosos. And therefore, if this was Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel's opinion, so then you theoretically would have put out the announcements for the levying of the Maksis HaShekel taxes to go and tell people to bring the Maksis HaShekel only 2 weeks before the start of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Gemara says, not necessarily so. Afilu Tam Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. You could even say that it makes sense to make the announcements on Rosh Chodesh Adar, even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, says you only need 2 weeks beforehand to prepare. Why is that? Because Kivan, the Omar Mar, the Chamish Asar Bo, Shulchanos Yoshim Medina, because the Mishnah we had learned previously said that they had put out the money changers, the shulchanios, they put out their tables to go and exchange the coins. People were bringing coins in different valuations. They had to give a maksis HaShekel, so you needed money changers there to go do this for them. So they would set up their exchange tables 15 days in the month of Adar, because that's right plop in the middle of the month. And it says, "Uchafei Yoshim B'miktosh." And this is an aside, this is just a continuation of that Mishnah. It has nothing to do with our din, so it's an aside from the din, but it continued and said on the 25th day, they would move those money tables away from where they were in the cities, and they would bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. It was too late, as Rashi points out over here. At this point in time, they would move to the Beis HaMikdash, Husima Shekvar Karev Zman Latrom. It's getting close to the time when you better have brought in your money, and therefore, Yamaru Yaviu, and people will see that the money changes are no longer there. They said, we better go and quickly take care of our obligation and give the Trumas, the money for the Trumas Alishka. Fine. So therefore, if we're saying that the money changers brought the tables out on the 15th, then 2 days before is Rosh Chodesh Adar, 2 weeks before is Rosh Chodesh Adar, and therefore, Mishum Shulchanos Kadmina Nukrinan, and that could be, even Rosh Chodesh Gamaliel, that you move it forward 2 weeks from the 15th, and not 2 weeks from the end of the month. Then the Gemara says, what exactly is Parshas Shkolim? Now, we all know it's Parshas Kisisa, Pai Parshas Shkolim. But you'll see that Rav disagrees with that. Rav Amar, it's Rosh Chodesh is laning from the Chamishi Aliyah in Parshas Pinchos Perichov Ches, Tzavis Bnei Yisrov, Yomar Talem, is Kobin Lachmi, Lishai Reach Nichochi. It's the Aliyah that we lane every Rosh Chodesh. He says that's also Parshas Shkolim. And Shmuel says, like we hold, Shmuel Amar, it's Parshas Kisisa, it's the Kohen and Levi Aliyah of Rishon that we call Parshas Shkolim. Now, why do they each say what they say? So Shmuel makes very good sense. Where it says, Bishmuel, Mishlama le Shmuel man the Omar Kisisa, Hainu de Korilei, Parshas Shkolim. That's why we call it Parshas Shkolim, because the Sibbo Shkolim, because the Parsha of Kisisa is all about Shkolim. So that's clear why he holds that could be Parshas Shkolim. El man the Omar, according to the man the Omar, Rav es Korbani Lachmi. We're dealing over here with Korbani Lachmi, the parasha of Rosh Chodesh laning. So wait a second. Now we delete the word Hoch according to the Bach. Midi Shkolim Ksivi Hasan. Does it mention anything about Shkolim in the entire Rosh Chodesh laning from all of Chamishi? Doesn't mention Shkolim once. So the Gemara says yes, it does. In fact, it does. Taima, and again, the Bach deletes here the word Mai, the same Bach that deleted Hocha deletes over here the word Mai. He says, Taima kid Rev Tevi. This is like what Rev Tevi said. That Rev Tevi, they wrote down the name of Yoshia, so he had said that you learn out from here that the funds have to be for the new fiscal year. That's shkolim. That's the funds that pay for it. It doesn't say the word matzis a shekel there, but it's talking about the funds for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that is why Rav says that is parsha shkolim and not kisisa. We'll see in a moment why he didn't want to say it's kisisa. That sounds like it's an easy answer. Rav has to be a little shtickle fit in. And Shmuel seems to be perfectly correct. Gemara says, no, it's not so perfectly correct. As Gemara now says, Bishlom Laman the Yomit Savis Bnei Yisrael, we understand according to Rav, who says it's the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh Savis Bnei Yisrael, Mishum Dersivi Karbonos Hossam, Kidder Rev Tevi. Because as Rev Tevi just said, it's talking about the financial obligations to go and collect money to bring Karbonos. So that's Shkolim. El Laman the Yomit Kisisa, Shmuel says it's Kisisa. It doesn't talk about korbanos. It talks about matzis hashekel, but it doesn't talk about korbanos. Korbanos miksive, shkolim le'adanim ksive. The matzis hashekel that we're collecting over there is talking about collecting it for the adanim. Those are the bases that they put the walls of the Mishkan in. So that's what the money was collected for. So how can you tell me that has anything to do with korbanos? So kasha and shmur, that's mistumba, why Rav didn't want that opinion. So Gemara says, no. Shmuel's okay. Kiddetani Rav Yosef, Shalosh, Trumos, Hain. There are three times over here mentioned Truma in this parasha. As Rashi points out, says, by Matzis HaShekel, Truma LaShem, says, Yitain Truma HaShem, says, Lase says, Truma HaShem. So the first one is for the Truma, Shal Mizbeach, that's for the Mizbeach. The second one, Shal Adanim, that's for the Adanim. And the third one, Shal Berek HaBayis, that's for Berek HaBayis. So clearly, it does discuss over here that it is Matzis HaShekel for the Korbanos Shel Mizbeach La Mizbeach. Okay, so Shmuel's okay also. No, Rav obviously didn't like that answer, and that's why he said it's preferable to use the understanding that Rav Tevi had and say that it's talking about Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, that's Parsha Shkolim. Now the Gemara says, Bishlom Olaman Diyomar Kisisa, according to Shmuel, everything is good. Hainu. That's because the Shani High Rosh Chodesh Mishar Rosh Chodesh. Because now we can see that there's a difference between every other Rosh Chodesh and this Rosh Chodesh. Every other Rosh Chodesh, we read from Parshas Pinchas, and we read Tzavis Bnei Yisrael. And this Rosh Chodesh, which is special Rosh Chodesh Adar, when it comes out on Shabbos, which is Parshas Shkolim, we read Parshas Shkolim. Oh, very good. El Laman Di Omar Tzavis Bnei Yisrael is Korbini Lachmi, according to Rav. My Shani, wait a second. On Rosh Chodesh, regularly you read the Psukim of Rosh Chodesh, and on Shkolim, you read Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Shkolim, you read the Psukim of Rosh Chodesh. So they seem to be the same. Albeit, you could argue that the amount of Psukim that you read is a little bit different, but it's the same Sugi, it's the same reading, so people are going to say, hey, there's no difference. Someone says, yes, there is a difference. Even according to Rav, there's a difference. Shani, what's the difference? The Ilu Rosh Chodeshim, are your regular Rosh Chodesh, Karu Shiso bin Yonah de Yoma, on the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you read first the parish of the week. So the Gemara here goes according to the opinion that says the Maftir is one of the seven essential Aliyahs. So if you go according to the other opinion, we read seven instead of six. Well, let's just work simple with the assumption that Maftir is one of the essential Aliyahs. So there's only seven Aliyahs. So the Ilu Rosh Chodeshim, Karu Shiso bin Yonah de Yoma, on a regular Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, you would call up six people to read the entire parish from those six people. And the seventh person, the Chabbi Rosh Chodesh, he reads the special Maftir, which is the seventh Aliyah according to this, on from Rosh Chodesh for Parshas Pinchas. However, Vilo Idna, when you're dealing with Rosh Chodesh Adar, that falls out on Shabbos, so what's the halacha? Kulu with the Rosh Chodesh. You don't read anything from the Parshas HaShavua. You read everything from Rosh Chodesh. And this goes in accord with the opinion, which is not halacha l'maisa, that you go and read the entire laning, not just the maftir, but the entire laning for the four special parashos is from the special parashos, and there is no regular laning. You push aside. That's why I mentioned in the Mishnah, we had an Omer Aleph, so if you go back and look there, it said, afterwards you finish the four parashos, choshun l'chasidra. Now you go back to the regular laning, implying that you gave up the regular laning. Now, that's not the way we paskin, as everybody knows. We paskin that you don't interrupt the regular laning, we just have a different maftir. But for now, the Gemara is assuming that you interrupt the regular laning, so therefore, on shkolim, you don't read the regular laning, you just read Rosh Chodesh. The only thing that you read is Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to on other Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, you read the regular laning and just have the mafti Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, even according to Rav, there's a big difference. The Gemara questions this, however, and says this is a big problem. That works out great that you return back to the regular parashos, as we just said. you didn't read the regular parsha that week, you just read the parsha of Shkolim, so then there's no problem. Everything works out very well according to this opinion, according to Rav. But according to the way we have halacha l'maisa, eleman d'omar l'seder haftaros u'chozer, we all don't have just the laning of the Arba Parashos. We have the regular Shabbos laning, and these are the maftir. So according to the one that says, when it says chozrin, you go back to the regular Seder, it means you go back to the regular haftorah schedule, maftir schedule. So then, uparshos of the omokrin, and then you read the regular weekly parsha this week, so then, my shani, how is it any different? You're reading the regular six aliyos in that Shabbos' laning, and then you're reading shkalim from Rosh Chodesh. But on Rosh Chodesh, you read Rosh Chodesh. So how would you ever have a distinction between Rosh Chodesh Adar and Rosh Chodesh every week? You can't tell me one is Shkolim and one is Rosh Chodesh. It's the exact same laning. So Gemara says, no, it's different. Shani, how's it different? Because the Ilu Rosh Chodeshim on a regular Rosh Chodesh, not Adar, Karu Shiso Binyon Adiyoma, V'chad Karu the Rosh Chodesh. That we said, you read six people reading the regular laning, they finish the entire Parsha, and the seventh Aliyah, which is part of the requirement, like we said, that is the Maftir of Rosh Chodesh. Fine. But here on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Bilu Idna, Karut Laso bin Yon Adiyoma, V'arba Karu bin Rosh Chodesh. He says, here's the difference. You have three people reading the regular Parsha, and four people read from Parshas Pinchas, the Maftir, other Aliyos that deal with Shkalim, and therefore that's a clear-cut distinction. So even Rav is okay this way. Or says, wait a second, it's still not okay. Meisvei, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shkolios B'Shabiz. Raisa tells us that when Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, Karim B'Parsha Shkolim, we read Parsha Shkolim, we read from Lachet Beis, which tells us that Yehoyada HaKohen went and redid the Beis HaMikdash, Yehoyash, who found the Sefer Torah, so he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, and this is what it's about. Now, if it's dealing with that, we understand why it makes sense to have it with Kisisa. Bishlam Laman the Yom Kisisa, Hainu the Maftir, Miyoda Kohen, because they're dealing with similar subjects. The Chsiv, Keshef, Nafshos, Erko, which is a reference to the Machzis Shekel. Oh, so the Haftorah deals with what the Maftir dealt with, Machzis Shekel. Life is good. Elman the Yom Kohen to Rav, Eskobini Lachmi, that's what you lane. So, Midami, what does it have to do with the Now, Kesef Nafshos Erko concept. One is talking about Matzah Shekel, and one is talking about Rosh Chodesh. One says, no, they are in fact exactly the same. Dami, Kidr Rav Tavi. That's what we all said several times already. That Rav Tavi says, no, that the Maftir that we're reading about Rosh Chodesh really deals with Karbanos, and therefore it is appropriate. Okay, so that's not a kasha. Try again. Meisvei, we question Rav from the following Braisa. Cholios v'parsha smuchalo be'milo fanel be'machreo. If Parsha Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh Adar, comes out on a Shabbos that is very close to where the laning for Shkolim is, whether it's the week before or the week afterwards, no problem. So we read it twice. We read it, let's say it was the week before, so we read Shkolim the week before, and then the regular week, next week is Kisisa. So you read Parshas Shkolim Kisisa at the conclusion of Parshas Tetzaveh the week before, and then you read it Kisisa the next week again, no problem. It doesn't make any difference whether the Shabbos of Shkolim came before or afterwards, Kisisa, you always read it twice. Not a problem. But that works out only fine according to Shmuel. Bishalom on the Yom Kisisa, Hainu, the Misrame Ba'od Zimna. The Parsha of Shkolim always comes around the time that we're reading the second half of Sefer Shemos. So that's why Kisisa could occur the week before. The reading of the Parsha of Kisisa could be read the week before, either Shkolim or the week after Shkolim. And that's why you could read Kisisa twice in a row. But according to Rav, who says it's from Parshas Pinchas never comes out at that time of the year. Eleman Diomer, Tzavis Meisrael, it's Karbini Lachmi, etc. So then it can never be that it could be read 2 weeks in a row. What in the world is this Bryce telling us? Mi Misrami Bauzimna, it doesn't come out then. So one says, yes, it does. Listen to this. In, why? Livnei Marava, the people very Yisrael that had a different cycle than we have nowadays. The Maskele D'Araisa, Bitlashnin, they had a 3-year cycle to finish the Torah. So they didn't have Simchas Torah every year. They had Simchas Torah once every 3 years. They would read from Bereishis through Zos HaTorah. They would take them 3 years to read it. In other words, they would read a third of Bereishis the first week, a third of the Bereishis the second week, a third of Bereishis the third week. It would take them 3 weeks to finish Bereishis, not 1 week. And they would do that for Noach. They would do that for Lev Lecha. It took them three times as long to finish the cycle. If you say that, then it could be that Parshas Pinchas could come out around the time that Parshas Shkolim comes out. And therefore, that would be Rav's answer that he holds, like the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Ma'arava, that they read a 3-year cycle as opposed to the accepted cycle nowadays, which is a 1-year cycle from Simchas Torah to Simchas Torah. Still haven't proven anybody right or wrong. Mora says, Tanya Kavasi the Shmuel. We have a Brisa in support of Shmuel. We don't prove Rav wrong, but we have a Brisa in support of Shmuel. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shcholios B'Shabes, Korin Kisisa, Umaftirin B'Yoyodo HaKohen. Oh, so says this Beferish, and this is how we, in fact, Paskin, as everybody knows, we read from Kisisa for Shkolim and not from Parsha of Rosh Chodesh in Parshas Pinchos. That Gemara tells us, Rav Yitzvah Nachla tells us, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shcholios B'Shabes, when Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, Motzi and Shalosh Torah Sukari Behen, we take out 3 Sifrei Torah. Why? Echa bin Yonah Shoyom. One, you have to read the Parsha of the week, as we Paskin, that we don't just read Shkolim, we read the Parsha of the week, that would be the first Sefer Torah. From the second Sefer Torah, V'echa B'shol Rosh Chodesh, read from Rosh Chodesh, and from the third Sefer Torah, V'echa B'chisisa, that's Parsha Shkolim. Okay, that's what Rav Yitzchak Nachman tells us for Rosh Chodesh Adar. But then he adds what seemingly is an unnecessary statement. The Yom Rav Yitzchak Nachman, we do the same thing for Rosh Chodesh Shabbos Chanukah. Rosh Chodesh Teves, Shcholios B'Shabbos, that's Teves, of course, is Rosh Chodesh Teves is always in Chanukah. And if it falls out on Shabbos, so then you have, again, 3 Sifrei Torah that you have to take out. Maybe in Shalosh Torahs for Korah Behem, again, from the 3 separate ladies that you have to do. Echa bin Yonah Shoyom, Sifrei Torah number 1, that reads the Parsha of the week. The Echa bin Rosh Chodesh, the Aliyah of Rosh Chodesh comes next, and then the Echa bin Chanukah, the 3rd Sifrei Torah, teaches us is for the Aliyah of Chanukah. Fine. So he taught this to us din, this din, twice. Rav Yitzchak Nachla taught it to us by Rosh Chodesh Adar, and he taught it to us by Rosh Chodesh Teves. And the Gemara says, why did he need to teach it by both? Once I got it, I got it. I can learn one from the other. Why do I need both of them? Tzrich, the Gemara says, you need both of them. Because the Itmar Baha, if you only told me the second one, Rosh Chodesh Teves, for example, Baha, Kamar Yitzchak, only in that situation did he say that you have to read from 3 Sifrei Torah. Because you have 3 lanings from very far apart places. One, of course, is the Parish of the Week, which would be somewhere in the second half of Shemos. One would be from Parishas Noso, where we have the laning for Chanukah. And the other one would be from Parishas Pinchas, where we have the laning for Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, you need 3 Sifrei Torah. But, Abel, Baha, coming, it's only in this, Abel Bahach, Geran Sirule. But, maybe, by Rosh Chodesh Adar, he holds like Rav. And in fact, he would say that the Omer, Parsha Shkolim, Eskobini Lachmi, Parsha Shkolim is Rosh Chodesh's laning. And therefore, Ubishteya Torah Sagi. You could read Shkolim and Rosh Chodesh for 1 Sefer Torah. The only reason we take out the 3 Sefer Torah is because of Tircha de Tzibura. But if they're right next to each other, so then you could take out 2 Sefer Torah. So therefore, Kamash belongs. So he has to tell us the din by Adar as well. The Gemara says, so then just tell us by Adar and don't tell us by Teves. So tell me only by Rosh Chodesh Adar did you take out the Sefer Torah, and I'll know by Rosh Chodesh Teves. So the Gemara says, you're right. That it wasn't Beferish said that Rav Yitzchak Nachla said both of these two dinim at the same time. He said the din by Rosh Chodesh Adar, and it was then said in his name as well that this same thing applied by Rosh Chodesh Teves. Gemara asks the following Shaila, Itmar. They said in the Beis Medrash, Rosh Chodesh Teves, Shecholios B'chol, if you have Rosh Chodesh Teves, Chanukah Rosh Chodesh comes out on a weekday. So how do you lane that? So we have 2 different opinions. Amar Rav Yitzchak, it really should be Rav Yitzchak Nachla, as the Masoros HaShas says. Karu Tlosa B'Rosh Chodesh, V'chad B'Chanukah. So you have 4 aliyahs that you have to give out on Chanukah. That is Rosh Chodesh. So the first 3 aliyahs are the Rosh Chodesh aliyahs, and then the 4th one is Chanukah. And Pumfaket, Rav Dimi, Dimin Chayfa, Amar Pumfaket, Karut, Losu, B'Chanukah. You read 3 from Chanukah, and the 4th one, B'Chad, is Rosh Chodesh. Now, Amar Rav Mani, Kavasi, the Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Mistabra. The position of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, that you read 3 from Rosh Chodesh and 1 from Chanukah makes more sense because which one is more frequent? Rosh Chodesh comes out more frequently than Chanukah. Chanukah comes out once a year, Rosh Chodesh comes out 12 times a year. The Tadu Shein Tadu, Tadu Kodim. So it makes sense that the more frequent one, which is Rosh Chodesh, would have the 3 aliyahs and the extra aliyah, that would go to Chanukah. That's what Rav Mani says. However, Amar Rabbi Yovan, he says the exact opposite. Kaposi, the Rav Dimi Mistavra, he says it makes more sense to hold like Rav Dimi that you read 3 from Chanukah and 1 from Rosh Chodesh. Because he says, why? Mi goram l'Ravi Yishibo. What makes you have 4 aliyahs Is it Hanukkah or is it Rosh Chodesh? It's the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. Every other day of Hanukkah, you only have three aliyahs. So it must be that they're Rosh Chodesh. So it makes sense that the fourth aliyah should be Rosh Chodesh. So read three from Hanukkah, and the fourth should be Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, mi garam revi yishyavo Rosh Chodesh. Hilkach revi Rosh Chodesh by a mikre. So therefore, it makes sense that the fourth aliyah should be about Rosh Chodesh. So we have two opposing viewpoints over here. How do we pass it? I have Yallah. So Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef says, Ein mashkichim b'Rosh Chodesh. We ignore Rosh Chodesh. V'Rabba Amar Ein mashkichim b'Chanukah. We ignore Chanukah. Now, what does it mean we ignore it? Ein mashkichim. We don't pay any attention to it. So it means that the critical one, according to Rabbi Yosef, is not Rosh Chodesh, it's Chanukah. So therefore, the three aliyahs are from Chanukah, and the fourth aliyah, that's Rosh Chodesh. That's Rabbi Yosef. That would seem to be in accord with Rav Dimi, Min Chaifa. And Rabba said that no, Ein mashkichim b'Chanukah. We don't give a preference to Hanukkah. So you first give the three aliyahs to Rosh Chodesh, and then the fourth aliyah, that's Hanukkah, that holds like Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. What is Gemara's final conclusion? V'hilchasa ein mashkichim b'Chanukah v'Rosh Chodesh ikar. That's the girsa that we have, that the halacha l'mais is that we don't concern ourselves so much with Hanukkah. The three aliyahs are Rosh Chodesh, and then the fourth aliyah is Hanukkah. Rosh Chodesh is the Ikra. That's the girsa that we have. There is a girsa over here in the Bach that's a little bit different. He says, V'ilchasa ein mashkichim b'Chanukah kolikra. We don't pay any attention to Chanukah at all. That girsa has a nafkamin that if by accident you read the four aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh and you put the Sefer Torah back, you wouldn't have to go retake it out again to lane from Chanukah. So that's why that girsa may have some halacha l'mais ramifications. So I just point out this girsa, ein mashkichim b'Chanukah ikar, and you don't even say V'tevas Rosh Chodesh is ikar. You don't even say that, because the whole point is that you don't pay any attention to Chanukah, and there is a halachic situation where if you by accident read like you do every Rosh Chodesh, the four aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh, and you put the Sefer Torah back before you say, hey, we forgot Chanukah, so then you wouldn't have to go take out another Sefer Torah and lay in for Chanukah. There was a big shiur today, a very interesting shiur, I hope, and with this we conclude today's shiur.